Hello everyone, I'm your host Noor and welcome to And Beyond. This is a podcast where we push ourselves past our own limiting beliefs, past our comfort zones to go beyond ourselves in mind, body, and soul. And one of the greatest ways we can go beyond ourselves is by being in solitude. Have you ever wished to escape it all? Life, noise, the people, yet do nothing about it? Solitude is a choice. A choice that makes many people uncomfortable. Which is why you dream and wish for that magical escape but never experience it, because you could have that escape anywhere if you embraced solitude. In today's world, solitude is looked down upon. Being in solitude is seen as antisocial or lonely. Especially with all the research about how loneliness can decrease lifespan expectancy, so to intentionally put yourself in solitude seems unhealthy and worrisome. But solitude is far from loneliness. It is in solitude that we find solace. And in this episode, I'm going to break down the difference between solitude and loneliness, how solitude has been practiced in history, the 8 benefits of solitude, and how to embrace solitude. But before I get any further into this episode, if you enjoy content about self-development, health, and astrology, make sure to subscribe to this podcast on whatever platform you are currently listening to it on. And a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts would also mean so much to me. Thank you so much, and now let's get into the episode. Solitude is defined as a social withdrawal. It's a state of seclusion or isolation, meaning a lack of socialization, often by choice. Of course, there are many types of solitude and isolation, but for the sake of this episode, we're going to focus on solitude as a choice because it is in the choice that we can find true solace. In saying this, you can always make the choice to embrace solitude even when it is forced upon you, but that's a conversation for another time. Solitude is very different to loneliness. Loneliness is a need for company, while solitude seeks to escape it. Loneliness, in a sense, is a negative state of being. It is this feeling of isolation because you feel that something is missing, and that missing piece is usually you. While solitude is a positive state of being because you engage with being with yourself in a way that is constructive because your own company is enough. Solitude is the act of spending time alone without being lonely. And it's really important to separate loneliness and solitude because one brings peace while the other brings dis-ease. And from loneliness, you can move into solitude to turn your loneliness into introspection and self-love because solitude is sometimes the best company. We have seen countless people in history embrace solitude, specifically the creatives, whether that was Einstein, Mother Teresa, Eleanor Roosevelt, or even Steve Jobs and J.K. Rowling. All these people took time in solitude to connect to their own intelligence, to have space to think, to get in touch with their creativity, and to connect to God. And solitude has been a well-known practice in religion as well, specifically speaking here to Islam, as I am Muslim, so that is what I know best. Both Maryam, Mary, and the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, both embrace solitude. In fact, Islam celebrates solitude because it brings you that closer relationship to God. In Islam, the practice of solitude is known as khalwa. It is a practice of becoming more enlightened and developing a deeper connection with God through withdrawing oneself from this world, the material world, or otherwise known as the dunya, for a period of time for deep reflection and in doing so, moving beyond the ego and coming into truth through the connection to God. The practice of khalwa is to bring you closer again to God, closer to your soul's truth, and then to bring that knowledge into this world. And that is very important to note because solitude isn't meant to be permanent. It serves a place and time in your life. As mentioned, Maryam would practice solitude often. And based on the Quran, we know that she secluded herself away from family, friends, and loved ones when she became pregnant with Isa, or Jesus, to continue her worship to God without judgment from others around her about her pregnancy. But even prior to becoming pregnant with Jesus, Isa, Maryam devoted time in solitude to connect with God and would stand for hours in worship to the point where her feet would literally swell up. And any time she would leave her place of solitude or worship, her focus was completely on performing her duties very attentively. And this is really important to note, as I will be mentioning this when I speak about the benefits of solitude. She chose solitude to focus on what was important to her, God, and in doing so, deepening her relationship to God. And it was in her solitude that the angel Gabriel, Jibril, came to her to deliver God's message that she was pregnant with Isa. It was in her solitude where she received this information and the knowledge from the outer world, if you so want to call it that. We also know that the Prophet Muhammad would often practice solitude. He would spend countless days and nights in the cave of Hira alone, secluded, away from his loved ones, in order to contemplate and reflect. And this was prior to his prophethood. It was also in his solitude, in his seclusion, that the angel Gabriel revealed to him that he was a prophet of God, and where he received the revelation of the Quran. Again, like Maryam, it was in his solitude, in his seclusion, that the outside noise became dim so that he could hear and receive outer world information. And that is the power of solitude, and why solitude is so valuable in Islam and even beyond Islam. As I mentioned, many notable people choose solitude to connect with their own inner wisdom and find solace. It is a deliberate withdrawal from the world to take time for reflection, in which we can gain the most, because the self is revealed only in retreat from the world. And the self is everything, because without self, there is no you. Without love for self, there is emptiness. And that is what creates loneliness. Because if you can't enjoy yourself, you'll never be satisfied with anything else, because you have to carry yourself wherever you go. Solitude is necessary. It doesn't mean you need to conform to a life of solitude for the rest of your life. In fact, I would highly not recommend that, because too much can lead to insanity, as well as too little can lead to insanity. But as I said earlier, we all do need a certain healthy amount of solitude to connect to ourselves, restore our energy, to live life more authentically in our truth, and to discover that truth. And that amount of solitude will be so different to each person. But when you feel the calling to be in solitude, embrace it. It is your soul looking for a retreat. That feeling I spoke about, wanting an escape, that escape is an escape from self. Feeling tired, feeling burnt out, feeling frustrated, angry from self. Which is why when that feeling comes up, the last thing anybody does is go into solitude. Instead, they find all the ways to fill their time with more distractions, to avoid sitting and being with themselves. But it's not the escape you're necessarily seeking. That feeling is your soul calling you for a reconnection to self, to come back home from all the distractions and noise you keep absorbing. It is your soul needing to cleanse, your soul needing you to focus on loving yourself. And it is God calling you back in to bring you closer to God, and through God to yourself. There are many benefits to gain from solitude, and the 8 that I'm going to mention are the ones that I believe to be the most important in my opinion. But there are many more benefits you can gain from solitude, and ones that you will only discover for yourself, because each journey of solitude is going to be so unique to the next person. And with that being said, the first benefit that I believe everybody can gain from solitude is falling in love with yourself. So much of the time, people push solitude away because they are so afraid of being with themselves. So many people don't enjoy their own company. But if you don't enjoy your own company, you'll never enjoy anything, because you have to carry yourself along with you through every experience. You cannot escape yourself. In solitude, you allow yourself to be with you. And it is through being with yourself and spending time with yourself that you grow to truly love yourself. You get to fully break down any walls and barriers you hold up so you can be fully you. It gives you the freedom to be who you truly are. And although it can feel scary initially, that is how all relationships are made. Think about it. When you are making a new friend or going on a first date, at first it feels a little scary, but eventually you warm up and it becomes easier to be around the person. And those relationships start to grow when you take the time to nurture them. And when you learn more about those people, you start to fall more in love with them. And that's what happens when you give yourself the time and energy to reflect with yourself and nurture yourself. No matter how much you seek out love from the external, it will never fill the loneliness within. Maybe it will momentarily, but that is very short-lasting. Your happiness comes from within, when you are happy with you. And that comes through when you can stand being in your own presence. If you are searching for love and happiness in others, it will leave you feeling even more lonely, because the soul will always feel neglected by the person it craves the most love and attention from, which is you. Being in solitude may feel a little difficult, but eventually you learn to love yourself to the point where you truly value your own time to yourself, because you're content with being with yourself. The second benefit of solitude is you learn and you grow. Of course, spending time with yourself in introspection, you will learn so much about yourself. You will learn your tics, triggers, weaknesses, strengths, talents, and so much more. And as you learn more about yourself, you fall more in love with yourself, but you also gain the tools to help you grow and expand. Because you cannot grow without first understanding what kind of plant you are and how much sunlight or how much water you need. The more time you spend with yourself, the more you'll understand how to nurture yourself. Majority of time is usually spent with others and others placing their projections onto you. Sometimes you end up forgetting what you truly do enjoy because you become so focused in on what others enjoy or just doing things because others are doing it. As I said, being with yourself means all the walls are brought down and you get to be authentically you without fear of judgment, and that is where you learn the most about yourself, which means you access more information about yourself. And the more you know about yourself, the more you can develop a sense of self without the outside noise. Because so often the ego takes over and we abandon our true selves in order to appeal to others and conform to the material world. But solitude reminds us of the greater purpose of our lives. And we only learn that by learning about ourselves. So again, we can grow and expand in our truth. The third benefit of solitude is you learn to value truth over facade. And by facade, I mean anything really that the ego goes for. When you start to embrace and enjoy solitude, that is a sign that you are starting to love yourself and your own company. And if you enjoy your company, then nothing external really makes a difference in your life, which makes you more picky with how you spend your time because you don't feel the need to just fill in time or space with random pointless noise because you recognize that you are valuable. Your time is valuable. How you spend your time is valuable. The material things, the fake friends, the surface level things no longer do much for you, which allows you to develop deeper and more meaningful bonds with people and to go after the things that are truly meaningful to you. This doesn't mean that you don't enjoy a good hangout or a party. It just means that it's not the end of the world if you miss out on it because you most likely would rather be spending that time giving attention to something that feels more aligned to your truth. And as I mentioned earlier with the story of Maryam, anytime she would leave her solitude, her worship, she was very deliberate and attentive to the duties that she had to take on because her time was valuable to her. She knew that anytime she was not in solitude, anytime that she was not worshiping God, that she needed to be deliberate with her time. So there was attention put into anything that she did outside of solitude. And the same thing happens when you practice solitude. You recognize how valuable you are as a person, that everything you do needs to be more deliberate, has to have more attention, has to have more truth to it. The fourth benefit of solitude is you start to develop more creatively. So fun fact, I actually graduated with a BA in art, and the art building in the school I went to was literally just dead plain white. And I remember a lot of people would be so shocked whenever they would visit the art department because they were like, oh, well, you know, I kind of expected it to be a little bit more colorful and artwork to be displayed everywhere, but no, it was literally, again, like I said, blank walls, all painted white, and this was intentional. It was a way for the school to give us solitude of the mind, to take us out of any kind of simulation so that we could go within and tap into our creative genius and come up with work that was true to us. We were asked to draw upon our own inspiration that came from within. And I really did value this a lot because when you are in solitude, you are forced to create and innovate. It is in nothingness that you create something. We are all trying to fill voids. So when we see emptiness, we try to find something to fill it, whether that is artwork, writing, coming up with a scientific solution. Solitude gives you the opportunity to step away from the noise, which allows you to process your thoughts and emotions, allowing you to be more imaginative and come up with solutions and ideas. The fifth benefit of solitude is it improves your mental health. The impact of chosen solitude, and by chosen solitude, I mean solitude by choice, on mental health is probably the most rewarding as mental health issues has been on the rise. Think about it. If you are in solitude, you give yourself the chance to just be yourself. That takes so much mental load off. The anxiety, worry of what others are going to think all go out the door. And you start to feel more comfortable just being you with yourself. And then that converts to you being more comfortable just being you around others to the point that you just don't care what others think anymore. It also helps you regulate your emotions because you cut out all the constant positive and negative stimulation and triggers. Because when you are alone, you are more likely to have less reactive responses. Also, you get to decide how to react and respond to things on your own. So often when you see others react to certain things, despite not feeling anything specific towards that thing, you are more likely to mimic their response without fully understanding how you feel about that thing to begin with. Solitude helps you get more grounded in your emotions, which plays a huge role in mental health. Your emotions also become more comfortable over time. Yes, maybe scary at first to feel, but over time you become more familiar with them. And because you do, you become more emotionally stable and regulated. The mental break allows your brain to regenerate and replenish new cells. And if you have heard of neuroplasticity or rewiring of your brain, which I have spoken about in a couple of episodes, this is the best way to do it. Cut out the noise, let your brain rest, and then feed it the new story of how you want to reprogram your thoughts. And the sixth benefit to solitude is better productivity. Of course, I mean, this one is a given. When you have time in solitude, you will have a lot of more time to yourself to give full attention to what matters to you, making you more productive. Again, all outside noise is cut. You will have a lot more mental focus. You are one with your thoughts and have no distractions to stop you from taking action on what you need to do. And if you are the one stopping yourself and self-sabotaging by not taking action on your dreams and goals, again, the solitude will help you discover that and understand how to work with it so that you can be more productive. Nothing is more motivating than seeing where you currently are at and where you want to be. And that awareness comes through when you give yourself time to be in solitude. The seventh benefit is solitude gives you time to rest and heal. In solitude, you give yourself time to rest, reset, digest, and assimilate. Cutting out the noise and stimulation gives your body and mind time to breathe. Everybody is constantly on the go, and being on the go, trying to survive, keep up, and function in life is extremely stressful to the body, mind, and soul. When you take that pause, your body can finally rest. That pause can help you finally work through the pain and trauma of the past or even in the present, even things you were not even aware of. Because when you are on the go, you're not trying to process because you need to be alert. But that rest in solitude is essential to pause and listen to what your body and mind are holding within so that you can set yourself free and find the solace within. And lastly, the eighth benefit of solitude, which I spoke about already, is spiritual depth. There is no denying the fact that deep spiritual awakenings happen when you turn inwards and away from the world. Being in solitude leaves you alone with God, the Creator. This is where you gain the most wisdom, because you are now one with God. You close off all the outside noise. You give yourself the opportunity to receive God's wisdom and insight. You let yourself be held by God, because God is always with you, regardless of your solitude. But your attention is not always towards God, the way that God gives you attention. You're finally facing God in that moment of solitude. So when you turn that attention and focus back to God, life becomes magical and you become more radiant in God's love and light. And it truly is in this loving connection that you find inner peace and love, because you remember that God has always got your back. And there is nothing more peaceful and freeing than knowing that you are in the best of hands, which is God's hands. And these are the benefits of solitude. Again, going through the list one more time. The first, you fall in love with yourself. The second, you learn and you grow. The third, you value truth over facade. The fourth, you develop more creatively. The fifth, you better your mental health. The sixth, you better your productivity. Seventh, you take time to rest and heal. The eighth, you develop more spiritual depth. Of course, there are so many more benefits to solitude, like feeling happier, connecting to your purpose, and gaining more independence. But these are the top ones in my opinion. So now that you know all the amazing reasons to practice and embrace solitude, how do you practice solitude? Well, there are many different ways, and it really comes down to what you're seeking from solitude. And also knowing that not everyone has a chance to truly go into a little cabin in the woods to practice solitude, but there are ways you can be in solitude wherever you are, no matter the conditions. The first way that you can start to practice solitude is doing things on your own. Anytime you're about to try something new, do it on your own. It helps you learn about yourself without the external input. It allows you to fail without receiving any criticism. And that means you are more likely to pick yourself up again and keep going at it and learning and growing more with yourself. The second way to practice solitude is you can be alone with others. And this may seem surprising to some, but in fact, children actually learn to be in solitude, to be alone in the presence of a trusted adult. So how would this look like for you? This means that to be in solitude with someone else, to allow for silence, you allow yourself to be and others to simply be. Free from interaction or communication, just pure silence, allowing yourself to mind your own business while you let the other people mind their own business. The third way to practice solitude is take yourself on a date. Very similar to trying things out on your own, take yourself on a date. You learn so much about yourself. I actually have an episode all about the magic of self-dating. So if you want to know all the benefits of self-dating, tune into that episode, and I'll leave that one right there because that episode has so much information for you. The fourth is take time to go offline. Seclude yourself from the outside by turning off all social media and disengaging from online interactions, whether that be Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Twitter, or anything else. Take a step away to focus in on you. The fifth way to practice solitude is picking a place to be in solitude. As I said, not everyone can go to a cabin in the woods, but you can definitely find a place to go to be in solitude, whether that be a corner in your own home, in your car, or that could even be a bench in the park. Wherever you deem a safe place to be with yourself, to be one with your thoughts, pick a place and make it a place of solitude for you. Alongside with picking a place would be picking a time to be in solitude. And this is a sixth way to practice solitude. Maybe you feel like you can't get away from the world, that you are literally always on demand, but nobody is on demand 24/7. Nobody is working 24/7. If that is 5 minutes that you can have completely to yourself in that specific place or wherever else that you can be in solitude, take full advantage of that. If that means sitting in your car for 5 minutes because you live in a home full of people, then sit in your car for those 5 minutes. Do whatever you can to be in solitude. Take full advantage of any minute that you have to practice solitude. The seventh way to practice solitude is being present with yourself. If you really feel like there is no means of solitude, trying to find any excuse why you can't be in solitude, well, I'm sorry to break it to you, because true solitude is a mindset. It is being able to disengage with everything happening around you by being present with yourself. You could be in solitude at your office desk, just by paying attention to what is happening in your mind, body, and soul, bringing awareness to the sensations that you're feeling in your body, to the thoughts that are happening in your head. Being present with yourself is solitude embodied. And the final eighth step to practicing solitude is committing. This is more about showing up to be in solitude. Understand your why, because otherwise you'll neglect it. You'll keep pushing that necessary alone time away and coming up with excuses as to why you can't. And commit to the solitude of your choice, whether that is closing off social media or sitting in the car for 5 minutes. Because when you're in that solitude, you want to take full advantage of it so that you can gain all the benefits and deepen your connection to yourself in that solitude. Solitude is necessary. It is how you deepen your relationship to yourself and become more understanding of yourself, which allows you to truly go beyond yourself. We are all humans who need connection, but we need to first understand what that connection means by connecting to ourselves and God. So find solitude in yourself. And when you start to find that solitude in yourself, you'll see how much your life will change because you will start to love yourself. Yes, it may be very scary at first to put yourself in seclusion, to be alone with yourself. But over time, you learn to love yourself because you become more comfortable with yourself. Anything that you struggle to be comfortable with is only because it's unfamiliar to you. So the more familiar you become with yourself, learn and grow through the solitude, through the seclusion, you will learn to be more comfortable with yourself, which will make you love yourself more. And it is in the love with yourself, in the connection to yourself, where you gain the most insight, the most wisdom, so that you can truly go beyond yourself. And there's a quote by Thomas Edison that goes, "The best thinking has been done in solitude." So if you want to have the best thinking, if you really want to be innovative and create the life of your dreams, allow yourself to go into seclusion, allow yourself to be in solitude, and that is also where you will find solace within. I trust that you enjoyed this episode and found it insightful. Please make sure to subscribe to this podcast and leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. Take a screenshot of this episode, tag me in it, let me know your favorite part, and if you feel like a friend could find use in this episode, please share it with them. And don't forget, I always leave journal prompts in the show notes so that you can reflect with yourself after each episode and start going beyond yourself. To end this episode off with an herb, the herb I chose for this episode is poppy seed. And I don't believe I have said this herb before, hopefully not, but poppy seed is a moon-ruled herb, and moon-ruled herbs help us go within and connect with our own divine innate wisdom, which is perfect for having when in solitude. Poppy seeds can help people with insomnia, boost cognitive function and bone health, it eases digestion, and improves cardiovascular health, and so much more. Spiritually, it is a symbol of remembrance and hope and has been used to cultivate love and peace from within. And that is all I have for this episode. Wishing you all the best and sending you lots of love. Thank you and bye.